Hey, y'all.
Yep.
What's going on?
Yeah, we rewatched this one last night. It just, we saw it on, it was available on Tubi, right?
Yeah, it was just like random. Yeah. I'd seen it before, like several years ago, and you had seen it before.
Yeah, I liked it when I first saw it.
And then we were just, we were watching something else on Tubi, and he's like, ooh, look, Slither's on here. Yeah. So I was like, well, we can watch that if you want, because we hadn't reviewed that one. So I was just like, well, why not?
Decided
why
to do
not?
A review on
so
it.
So we decided to go ahead and like do a matinee on it.
This is a great movie.
It's so fun.
Yeah, very fun movie. It's a movie kind of like, it's an alien movie, alien invasion movie, falls to the earth kind of like on The Blob. But it's also a little bit like The Thing. And would it be another?
This good, is pretty much, and this got a lot of criticism from horror fans when it came out. Like, a lot of people liked this movie, but they were kind of like, this is basically a straight-up ripoff of Night of the Creeps from 1984.
Yeah.
Pretty much exactly the same thing happens, like aliens from space and everything.
Doesn't matter, though.
But it doesn't really matter. Because, I mean, it's kind of has its own thing to it.
Yeah. Doesn't matter because it's fun. It's got a really good cast. The story's good. Nothing in it is real groundbreaking. Like you said, it's kind of a carbon copy. But the writing, the acting, the tone, the humor in it is just good. It's just a very enjoyable movie. Weird shit happens in it. It's got Michael Rooker's in it.
Michael Rooker's in it, yeah.
And he's being Mississippi as shit. It's taking place.
It's supposed to be North Carolina.
Supposed to be North Carolina, yeah. I was wondering, where the hell is
Or South Carolina.
Yeah, because
one of the Carolinas.
The terrain features looked like it was a place up north, but everybody was speaking in at least a fake southern accent, some more authentic than others. Had the guy from Firefly, he started in it.
Nathan Fillion, yeah. He's my favorite character in it.
And and then Michael Rooker's wife's played by a hot young thing. What's her name?
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
She's been in a fuck ton of movies since then.
She does a great job in it. It's kind of a... It kind of rips on horror movie, but it does take it seriously too in a way. But there's just a lot of humor. It kind of pokes fun at southern culture a little bit, like every, you know what I mean, like, you know, certain things in southern culture are taken very seriously in this movie, like marriage, you know what I mean. It was just a bunch of fucking jokes on marriage, being a cop, just everything, you know what I mean. So it's just a fucking good movie. I liked it.
Esther is asking about my t-shirt. Is it available for sale? Actually, we didn't make this one. I got this one at the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in St. Augustine. It's a voodoo shirt. I just got it in the gift shop at the Ripley's Museum.
It's got a nice set of boobs in it, too.
Well, sure.
Look at
that. That goes without saying.
I polish the top of them so you get a better reflection. Rainbow casts off of it. It's fucking good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boob prisms.
Yeah, it makes money. Like that.
I wish it made money.
Yeah, not enough to make a living off of. Not enough to make a living off
of. That'd be so cool if, like, I could have a prism rainbow, like, bouncing off my boob, and then at the end was, like, a pot of gold, like a leprechaun.
Be awesome.
I know, that'd be neat.
But there's a lot of stuff in it. A lot of stuff in this movie. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's I don't know. It came out in the 2000s.
2006. This came out.
Yeah. Which was kind of like a cookie cutter type of a movie for 2006, but it's kind of aged into a little classic.
Here's what's really interesting. In case you guys didn't know, this was actually James Gunn's first directorial debut. Obviously, he went on to much greater fame. He directed the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. He did Suicide Squad, shit like that. But before he did this movie, he was actually like a screenwriter, and he worked on a lot of trauma movies. I think his first screenwriting credit might have been Romeo and Juliet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like a trauma movie.
So he's kind of like a horror guy.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this is that so on the back of some of the shit that he had done, like, in his screenwriting career, they decided they'll give him, you know, the boilerplate $15 million or whatever, like the studio that made it. And this movie did, it pretty much flopped. Made some money, but not enough to make its production budget back. And the shitty thing, I was watching something, Ryan Hollinger, who's this really great, like, Irish guy, and he did, like, kind of a real in-depth look at this movie, because he's, like, a big fan of it, and, you know, he thinks it kind of got shafted, which it sort of did, because a lot of people didn't see it. It got really well-reviewed, But for some reason, like, audiences just weren't down for it.
Timing.
He thought maybe it was because he's like, there weren't a lot of other horror comedies out at the time. Shaun of the Dead had come out like 2 years before, which was a big success. But there wasn't really a lot of other ones. And he's like, the early 2000s were kind of all horror remakes, a lot of which did really well. Like, you know, the Dawn of the Dead remake, which I think James Gunn also worked on. You know, the Hills Have Eyes remake. Like, all the... So he's like, it was either remakes or torture porn or kind of like supernatural horror. There weren't like a lot of other horror comedies out, and maybe just people weren't in the mood for it.
Things go in and out of style.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And it must have just been timing.
Yeah.
I mean, The Thing kind of flopped.
Yeah.
You know, John Carpenter's The Thing. And fucking Xanadu saw it for the first time last night. He messaged me. He's like, man, this movie's good, man. It's really good. He says, the acting's great. Yeah, and it was the same thing. And I think because The Thing kind of flopped and it had to go up against E.T. that summer, I think that kind of fucking broke John Carpenter's spirit. I mean, it's fucking, because that's a masterpiece. The Thing is a masterpiece, especially in its day. You know what I mean? That was cutting edge science.
Well, shit, man. People are still watching that shit nowadays. Like, it aged really well. So
yeah, even the sequel's pretty good.
I mean, so just because something didn't do that well at the box office at the time... Doesn't mean anything. And yeah. I think this is definitely one that, you know, it really didn't do very well at the time. But I think as time has gone, I've been very kind to it. And honestly, when we watched it again last night, like, the special effects and everything like that have aged really well. I mean, yeah. I think it looks real. A lot of them are practical. There is some CGI.
It's a mixture.
But it actually, the CGI still looks pretty good.
Yeah, and the mixture of CGI and practical works real well. I like that. Because the CG is just for tentacles and certain things that they did sparingly, but it had good practical effects. And when the alien starts growing up on the walls and it takes more space as it starts to consume more stuff. And the woman who is pregnant carrying all the damn little fucking slugs and shit. You can tell it's really there.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks great, you know. And I just think it's a good movie. There's a good script.
Yeah, it's just a super, super fun movie.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I think it was Mango that said earlier that, Mango said, I think Shaun of the Dead is the better of those two movies. I would agree with you. I do think Shaun of the Dead is better, funnier. This one is a little bit different, and I feel like maybe Shaun of the Dead benefited from everybody being zombie crazy. This one was not really, it had like some zombie movie sort of elements, but this one was more like a monster movie, like an alien invasion more type of movie.
More like The Blob.
Yeah, this was more,
like The Blob.
Like I said, or like Night of the Creeps or something.
Yeah, and well, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that was from 84.
The alien is more like a cross between The Blob and The Thing, and zombies, kinda.
And I like that they made the alien like a hive mind.
It's a hive mind, right.
So it was really just one alien, even though there's like a whole bunch of slugs.
Well, The Thing is kind of a hive mind, too.
That's true.
Or you assume, because they act in concert, and you can't tell where The Thing ends or begins. You know, little ones and big ones, and then they can merge, and then they can split. So it's like that, because they weren't merging. They were splitting, too.
Yeah.
But it did do pretty cool shit. It was morphing over time, but not as quickly as, say, like, The Thing. The Thing could just become whatever it needed right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when Rooker was being taken over and changing, the change wasn't that drastic over a long period of time.
Yeah.
It took a long time for him to change.
Yeah.
Days, you know.
It's almost kind of like the alien had a certain life cycle because, you know, whatever it was, it landed on, you know, a ship or a meteor or whatever it was. And then Michael Rooker finds it out in the woods, and it looked kind of like a gooey, what do you call it?
I assume it fell as like a meteor.
Yeah, I think it was. Because, there was that shot where they were, like in the car and, like, something fell like a meteor. Well, and actually, at the beginning, they show, like, the meteor, like, hurtling
towards it. Yeah, it was in a meteor.
Yeah. So it comes to Earth.
That's realistic. That's probably how something would come. It's just an alien life form on a meteor.
Yeah.
It had been around for billions of years, and it had memories.
Yeah.
Of where it had been.
Which I liked that aspect of it. That's
But if it merged with you, it became you, too.
Yeah.
So you were kind of a mixture of the alien.
Because he still remembered, and he wouldn't...
Remembered his wife and
stuff. Yeah, and he still remembered his wife, and it was still, like, he was still able to feel human emotions and stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the funniest part, too, was when the other people, like, when he impregnates, Brenda, and she, like, blows up...
Into a womb.
The womb.
He turned her into a womb.
And then when she explodes, and all the fucking slugs go everywhere, and then it starts taking over all the townsfolk are chasing after Starla, Yeah. You know, because that's like Michael Rooker's wife's character.
Yeah.
And he's so they all like have the same memories of her.
Yeah. So I guess the first person infected becomes the king of the hive mind for that planet.
Yeah.
Because nobody else had any real control. They were around, but the Michael Rooker's character could take over their personalities remotely.
Yeah.
Whenever he wanted to. He could jump through everybody.
That was another thing, too, and we mentioned that was, like, something that's kind of better than a zombie movie, because if one of the townsfolk, like, that was possessed saw you,
everybody saw you,
so right. Everybody knew where you were, because everyone was, like, one mind.
If it took over a planet, there'd be no escape, because you couldn't fight one and get away with it. All the other ones would know.
Would just jump on you.
It would all fucking, the whole world would come in on you. So it would take over a planet pretty quickly. Which, that's what would happen with The Thing, too.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about that before. Like, yeah. if something like The Thing landed on Earth, we would be fucked.
Toast. There'd be no stopping it.
We would be fucked big time.
Yeah, you couldn't stop it.
Nope.
And the Thing would have been a more dangerous because it could accurately mimic a person.
Yeah.
The only way is it couldn't mimic your jewelry or your like, earrings, and it couldn't mimic fillings.
Yeah, but anything. Like you'd have to be pretty on the ball, like, to notice something like
catch that. And you could walk in, you know, like a person that you know, and then kill you, and then take you over.
Well, and that's exactly what happened in the movie. Like,
yeah,
like shit comes out of their face and everything like that. Right. I know.
This one's like it. It's just that the tone is very different. It's a little more. It's a lot more playful. It has horror elements. It has a lot of action in it. But it kind of takes its subject matter seriously. But the characters are very humorous.
Yeah.
It's definitely a comedy.
I like that it's, like, really gory and goopy. And it has, like, a lot of... Like you said, it has, like, some scary shit in it. Because if you think about the implications of it, it's, like, a pretty terrifying thing. Yeah. But I really like... And the humor comes from the reactions of the characters to it. Because they don't really know...
What to make of this shit.
Well, yeah, and like they act the way like a normal people would act, like they're just kind of cracking jokes because they don't know what else to do. This is like the craziest fucking shit they've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and Nathan Fillion is so, like, I love him in everything. Like, I'm a big fan of Firefly and stuff. And so just his deadpan kind of, like, when he first sees, like, the Michael Rooker, like, the monster, like, the final form with all that I said, it looks like the shunting, like, from Society, where they're all, like, stuck together, and he's just kind of looking at it going, well, now there's some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, like, so fucking great.
And I thought, what I liked was, like, the relationship between Michael Rooker and his wife. Rooker's looking good. He's about 50-something in it. He's in real good shape. It must be on that damn juice. I don't know. But he's rich, he's got this big house, and he married this fine young thing who's much younger than him, probably by 20, 30 years, 20 years maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
And she was from the trailers, and her parents died, so kind of left her penniless. So he scooped her up when she was young and sent her to college. I think they say he scooped her up when she was 17.
Yeah, something. That's right.
So she comes back, and she's kind of like the town fucking... teacher. She's like super hot and all the fucking teenage boys are fucking drooling over her. So they threw that in there. That's good. But because it's Southern culture, she loves him. I think she does. But I think she's also kind of sick of him. Because she got tired of sleeping with him, so he went down to the bar and met up with another one who was a little bit older but hot too. And she had a crush on him when she was a girl. And they go off to go make out. And then he decides that he's not going to do her.
Yeah.
He's going to be true to his
wife. Because he's a good guy.
He's a good dude. Yeah, he decides he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
But then they find the damn asteroid thing. And he immediately gets impregnated. It jumps down and it bores into
his fucking... Yeah, it like shoots a little needle.
And it hooks up with his brain. And then it turns on her. And he impregnates her, turns her into a womb. That's a fucking...
With his tentacles that come out of his stomach and go into her stomach.
Like, oh, don't blame me, darling. It's just my nature. You know, and shit like that. You know, it's just...
I mean, him really going to the fucking grocery store and just standing there going, meat.
Meat. Meat.
Meat.
Yeah, he's just getting all this meat. He's collecting all the dead dogs and cows and everything and feeding it to the girl. Oh, she's chained to the wall, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Just turns into a fat round ball. She goes, I'm so hungry.
I'm so fucking hungry. Yeah,
hand me that possum over there. These bastards are tearing me apart. Fucking, oh, it looks creepy, man. And then she fucking exploded. And she, Yeah, it's good.
It's so gooey. This movie is so gooey. But, I love it, though.
Yeah, but Rooker fucking goes back to his... Rooker goes back to his wife, and she's seen he looks sick. He's saying it's just a bee sting. You know? It's just a bee sting, darling. Doctor gave me something. I'm going to be all right. You know, and he's going out fucking doing all this kind of shit. And, yeah, I liked it. She, she... In the end, she, you know, she realizes he's a fucking monster. But she's like, I'm going to stay true to your darling, just like I said. She's trying to save the marriage and shit. It's fucking funny.
Well, I think she was trying to get close enough to him to, like, kill him. Because
at that
time. Yeah, but, by the time the end came.
But early on, you know what I mean, before she saw him cut that dude in half, she was trying to, you know.
Which is also a great
scene. She's trying
to
save the marriage and shit. Yeah.
Because that dude was all trying to, like, drop his nuts and everything.
Yeah, you better stop it like that. And the fucking tentacle went out and cut the whole front end.
And he's like, what?
Yeah,
intestines going everywhere. So awesome. Honestly, I have to say, one of my favorite scenes in this wasn't even, like, all the gore is great. Like, everybody's great in this. One of my favorite scenes is when, like, the first time after they see him, and they just kind of see him from far away, so they kind of see, like, the tentacle action a little bit, but everyone's still kind of making jokes about it, and they're all, like, in the police station, and they have, and they put that little stuffed squid, like, on the dude's computer and shit like that, and he's like, just, this isn't funny, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, like, when they're trying to figure out, like, where he's gonna hit next, and they have these little squid stickers, like, from where, it's just, like, shit like that was, like, so funny, because I love that, like, kind of lower...
Colin's never seen Slither, man, you gotta see it.
Oh, thank you, No Need for Me Too.
Oh, okay, yeah,
finally made it, missed you guys in the chat, peeps, yeah.
Thank you.
I want to say, like, Alea's here, too.
Okay, yeah, Alea's, yeah. We're gonna go see the concert next week.
A Starry Night.
We're gonna see A Starry Night
on Saturday night.
Yes, you guys better get ready.
I know,
ready
I'm excited. I haven't seen them in a really.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys ever been to Will's Pub, but Will's Pub's good around here.
Yeah,
it's
I like
venue.
It there.
Good for live music and beer.
Beer and live music.
Yeah.
What else do you
kinda
want
like
out of
a,
life?
Kind of like it's an Irish pub. It's kind of like a place where you see punk rock bands and stuff.
Yeah,
all kind of bands play there, you know.
They do, yeah.
But it'd be like a good place to see, like,
it's
punk
like,
rock bands.
It's like stuff with like posters and memorabilia stuck
yeah,
over the wall and filthy bathrooms and
right.
You know, it's super
yeah,
fun.
It's like that. It's like out of the movies.
Yeah, it's like that kind of with like old pinball machines and shit like that. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like little scenes like that that are like what's super funny to me. Like all like and the whole shit with what's her name? That actress that was in The Office that played Pam. What the hell is her name? She was married to James Gunn at this time, so I think she was in a bunch of his movies. And she has, like, a really small part in this. Like, she's, like, the dispatcher at the police station. And she's, like, talking to him over the thing. And she's like, all that's in here is this skeeter is, like, around and whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, he asks her a question. She's nodding into the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, are you nodding?
Yeah. There's all kinds of good humor and everything. Like, teasing the one cop because she was a lesbian. If she wasn't a lesbian, she'd have gotten married to Michael Ricker, rich guy.
Yeah.
Remember that?
And I mean, and the guy that plays the mayor in this.
Oh, he's a douchebag.
Oh my God, he's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like that fucking freak out he has at the end. He's like, you know, people like driving my people around like skin cars and like, this is no Mr. Pibb in the fucking cooler.
Yeah.
And he's just like having a fucking wig out. But the cool thing about this is that even though he's a dickhead, he's still like a good, like a likable character. You know what I mean? Like everybody in this is a likable character.
Yeah, it's they're just kind of riffing on small town America in the South.
Jenna Fisher, thank you. That actress's name.
It's like a small town South, you know.
Yeah.
And it's pretty stereotypical. It's about what it's like. It's poking fun at it, but it's not disrespecting it. It's just
that's what I mean. It's poking fun, but it's like affectionately poking fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which like I said, that's kind of a hard line to draw.
Well, a lot of people in the movie are Southerners.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So there's probably that whole thing. So yeah, he's not making fun of them. It's just kind of like...
There are idiosyncrasies in Southern culture. It talks about it.
And everybody in this is, like I said, even the people that... Even Michael Rooker's character, who... in a lot of movies, they would just make him a bad guy.
He's a good guy.
He's a good... You know, deep down, he's a good guy. He's got, like, flaws, but everybody in this has flaws, but they're still, like, likable people.
He loved his wife. He could have cheated on her, and he said, nah, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And then the monster got him.
And then he got merged
with the monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and its nature overrode his, but he remembered his wife. It's just that wouldn't stop.
And he was really, really trying not to hurt her,
right?
Because he remembered her.
But he was like, "How can you blame a man for following his nature? Because your nature changes as soon as you become one with this monster." But it's good. It's kind of like the thing. kind of.
Yeah, like a like a fun comedic version of that.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But it had some fucking scary shit in it, too. You know what I mean? Like, when she got turned into the womb, when I first saw that, that was very disturbing.
It's quite an image.
It's like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah, she's just like a face, like, sticking out.
Yeah, and she wanted to eat them dead animals. And the one dude threw up. Yeah.
And everybody, yeah, and like I said, there is a lot of disturbing imagery. There's a lot of gore in this. People getting their heads blown off with shotguns.
Yeah, and then her husband becomes this big mass of other people who are trying to join in with him and there's damn tentacles. That way he could gain more mass. He didn't have to work out to gain mass. He would just absorb infected people. They'd walk into him.
Yeah, they just be like,
got bigger and bigger.
We're going into the collective.
Yeah, it's weird. Going into like a collective.
Like I said, it was like The Shunting.
Yeah.
If you guys have not seen Society, we did a review of that a while back, but that's what that end monster like reminded me of.
And they did the gun. He knew well enough to fucking do the old cute teenager in the bathtub scene.
Yeah,
and then the fucking thing goes in there like a sperm, like it's going in between her legs. That shit was fucking hilarious. And then it jumped into her mouth, and she was trying to keep it from getting into her mouth. And for a second, she saw the memories of the collective of how it got here and where it came from, the other planets that it absorbed, what it was absorbing, little mice creatures.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, so that was good that you had that character, because her whole family, including the little children, got taken over.
Got taken over.
And they were trying to kill her.
Yeah.
But so she had an insight into what the alien was and where it came from. And she was the one that said, you know, probably if we kill Michael Rooker's character. His character's name is Grant.
Yeah, Grant. Just Grant. Yeah.
Well, that was his first name and his last name.
Grant. Grant. Well, some Southerners didn't do that shit, man.
That checks out. But yeah, so like I said, we just watched this. I thought it was funny because somebody mentioned earlier that that they had just watched this randomly last night, and I was like, hey, so did we. We totally did not plan to watch this. We were just watching something else on Tubi, like for the movie retrospective, and Tom was just like, hey, they have Slither on here, and I was like, hey, let's watch that. I haven't seen it in a long
Tubi
time.
Tubi was probably suggesting it to everybody.
They just added it. Like a lot of times they'll, you know, because they add, when they add new shit, they'll put everything.
Yeah, Connor, if you haven't seen Slither, man, check it out.
Super fun. It's like I said, it's not, you know, a fucking masterpiece of cinema or anything like that, but it's just a fun alien invasion monster movie.
Yeah.
It's a comedy.
It knows what it is.
It's
not trying to be something it isn't.
And it's just trying to be like super entertaining. And it just keeps going. There's no slow parts really.
No.
I kind of feel like once they've established everyone's characters at the beginning, it just kind of like goes into him turning into a monster and like eating cows and whatnot.
Yeah, the edit and kind of the speed or the tempo of the movie reminded me a lot of The Blob.
Yeah.
It's like watching The Blob.
Yeah.
Either the original or the even the remakes, a good remake of The Blob. It's that same kind of just keep moving forward fast.
I want to actually see the 80s remake of The Blob because I remember that being actually pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I remember liking it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I remember liking it a lot.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, subsequently, I remember, like, seeing, like, scenes from it and other reviews of it. And I'm like, God damn, I need to rewatch that because I remember that being really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, way better than a remake of a cheesy 50s movie had any right to be. But yeah, Tasha Bella said the slugs reminded her of Shivers, the David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, they were like very kind of similar. So like I said, he's making homages to lots of other horror movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not like ripping anything off exactly, but it's just...
They played the original Blob on television when I was a little kid. I must have been about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And I saw that shit and it scared the shit out of me.
There's some really like disturbing imagery in that.
He's eating that dude up, and then you see him fighting his trying to get out of the damn window through the Venetian blinds of the doctor's office.
Yeah,
and then
I remember
when they
that.
Finally, go in there. He's just a damn blob. It totally absorbed him. Yeah, that fucking worked. You know, I was like, whoa, it was scary. For like 6, 7 years old, because the way the edit is and the dialogue is so simple, a 7 or 8 year old can follow it real well.
Yeah,
and it's not a tired genre or a tired theme. It's the first time you've seen it. The concept of being eaten up by a damn alien organism, like an amoeba that fell in on an asteroid.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be some pretty like horrifying shit.
That one and the original 1950s War of the Worlds fucking really captivated my imagination.
Yeah.
I loved War of the Worlds. I haven't seen that in a long time.
The original one?
The original. with the damn boomerang ships.
Yeah.
On the anti-gravity fucking suspension legs and the fucking... Remember the little fucking... It had like a cobra neck that came out of there with an electric eye that would go into the houses and it would shoot the heat rays. And man, it tripped me out when they came out of the damn impact zone and that priest says, "Let me go reason with these aliens," and then they zapped that priest.
Yeah, how'd that
when
go
I saw
around?
That shit, when I saw that shit happen, I was like, oh
no,
it's on now. Oh, you can't reason with them. They don't even believe in God. You can't reason with these aliens. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean,
that's how I took it. They'd even kill a damn priest.
Fuckers.
Dastardly motherfuckers. That's how I was taking it. They were here to annihilate everything. And they would annihilate the dogs and all the animals and all the damn cows and shit.
Yeah, see, now that's where I draw the line, I said.
Yeah.
That's my horror movie rules. It's like, you can kill all the people you want, but leave the little little kitties and doggies alone. They didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah, I got to see that one again. wasn't a little boy or a little girl running, carrying a cat or a dog to safety and she was in a crowd, and it wiped out the entire crowd.
I think
crowd
so. I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
I was thinking of that movie, that really terrible, like, 50s movie that was on MST, Teenagers from Outer Space.
Yeah.
And, like, the teenagers from outer space, who were actually, like, 45 years old.
Yeah.
But they all kind of came here with, like, the fucking jumpsuits and whatnot, and they had a skeletonizing gun. So they would just, like, shoot you with a gun, and it turned you into a skeleton.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they did it to a dog first. Yeah. And I remember the dog's name was Sparky.
Yeah.
And they found, like, Sparky's skeleton later, like with his little tag that said Sparky on it.
I even liked the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds.
It was all right.
It was okay. They
could
have done more with it, but they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they would have done a little bit more. The whole idea that they came out of the ground and they were down there for millions of years, that was stupid. They actually literally should have come from Mars, underneath the surface of Mars. That's where they should have come from.
Yeah, I mean, I think feel like that probably would have been more believable.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense that they were underneath.
Because they lived way under the, under the surface of Mars, so we didn't see it.
That's how I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, because that could totally happen. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's believable enough for a science fiction
movie. For a science fiction movie, yeah.
You know, I know everyone's more sophisticated nowadays. Right. Can't get away with the shit they used to be able to get away with back in the old days.
I would have said that they were down inside the core, near the core of Mars. You know, and they had a huge city down there, and they had to leave. That they had been building that armada for tens of thousands of years. But I guess people would have said, well, they would have won.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's what really would have happened.
I feel like that's kind of a fatal flaw in a lot of sci-fi movies, especially nowadays. Like, any sufficiently evolved species or that was,
that can come here,
that could come here, that had technology to come here, would probably just like wipe us out without us even knowing that they were up there.
Well, that's why I liked the thing could have easily wiped out the entire Earth, and it came here in a spacecraft. It's just that it by chance landed in Antarctica and got frozen.
Yeah,
so it couldn't get.
It's like our navigation was a little fucked up. We thought that maybe
well, there's no proof that spaceship was made by the thing. Maybe it infected that spaceship.
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess that would be. Well, it's just kind of like
something that they were carrying.
It's just kind of like what the one that we watched the other day, the Tomorrow War, where it's just like the alien that was taken over there. They didn't actually build that ship. They just came here they came here as like cargo inside the ship. So they didn't like actually build the ship.
Right.
So I thought that was a good way out of it. So like you said, that might have the thing that was the thing. That doesn't necessarily mean that they
might have crashed.
Steered that ship.
Might have crashed because they got out. And attack the pilots.
See, I like that idea
better.
I like that idea better.
Yeah, it's probably what had happened.
Because it's like, maybe those aliens were coming here to be all like peace and love and everything like that. Yeah. And then like the thing got on there, like was like a hitchhiker. And it was like, fuck all you guys.
I'm it obviously crashed there because it was all fucked up. The ship. Although it tried to leave in it later. In the 2011 one. We're dissecting the wrong movie.
Okay. That happens every single time. Yeah. That happens every single time.
In the 2011 thing, you see the ship again. I guess it was its ship. It was filled with a bunch of tubes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The corridors were just tubes.
A series of tubes.
And, the computer's graphic screens was just a bunch of damn levitating blocks merging and flipping over. Didn't make any sense to a human. Yeah. Or at least the human eye. It's pretty cool.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was like the alien equivalent of like a screensaver?
Yeah.
And we're all like trying to figure out like, what the fuck does that mean? They're like, nothing, man. We just put it on there to keep the
fun. It looked like a DNA molecule.
Yeah.
Suspended doing something, moving around, that it wouldn't make any sense to us, you know?
That's like, or it was the alien equivalent of like a lava lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all like trying to like attribute meaning to it and stuff.
Yeah.
That's if I was making a sci-fi movie, that's what I would do. I would put all this shit in there that looked all like high tech, and we were trying to figure it out, and it turned out it was just like some bullshit that didn't.
Although the damage on the thing may have happened when the Norwegians blew it up out of the ice, because I think it was in good condition in the 2011 one.
Yeah, because that was a prequel, right?
Right. So it must have landed it and then fell asleep in there, frozen on purpose. Maybe because I don't know. Maybe it was so long ago there wasn't any humans there to absorb. There's some reason. Only the aliens would know.
Maybe they have some reason that we can't even fathom.
Yeah, might have been hiding out from the cops.
I turned over a liquor store. I gotta go into hiding.
Hide from the cops. Might have been a fugitive. So I had to hide.
Oh my God.
Hey, anything's possible, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's just, you know, and I wonder how many of these possibilities have been explored in sci-fi fiction and movies that I haven't seen. I'm sure probably all
might have been something that escaped. It had to hide. So it just, it could travel through space, but not time. So it said, fuck, I'm asleep for 10,000 years and they'll all be dead by the time I get up.
Yeah.
Might have been something like that.
By the time I get up.
Well, that's what the aliens from Prometheus would do.
Yeah.
They'd just get in the damn sleep chamber and fucking sleep you to death. You know? I get up in 2,000 years, you should be dead.
I can wait.
Yeah, you'll be dead.
Yeah. It'll just seem like a second to me. I'll just like fall asleep and I'll wake up and it'll be 2,000 years
later. Kill
all
you bitches.
Yeah.
But with old age. Yeah.
That's the lazy way to do it.
Yeah. Kind of smart when you think about it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Just because it's the lazy way doesn't mean
that
like
this shit sucks. I'm going to sleep for about 2,000 years. This will all be a bad memory by then.
See you.
You can't fight a motherfucker when you can't find him and he's asleep. Yeah, he can't even mess with his fucking state of calm. Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, I guess she said that she had just seen, Tubi had just added it, so I guess that's why it came up in the recommendations, because, like I said, pretty much all I watch on Tubi is horror movies, so that's always going to come up first. So, if you haven't seen it, a little bit, I kind of feel like it's got, a cult following now, but it's still, like, a little bit underrated. I feel like I don't really hear that many people talking about it, and it's actually really, really fun, like, if you like horror comedies and... all, you know, gore and shit like that. Anything else you would like to add?
Nope.
All right. So I guess, what's today, Monday? Yeah, it's Monday.
Yeah.
All right. So we will watch whatever movie we figure out later. We don't have a plan. We'll watch something later and we'll talk about
it tomorrow. Yes, the Tubi versions seem to be unedited.
Yeah, there was nothing missing out of there. It was gory and all the swearing was there and... I didn't think there was. I didn't remember there being much nudity. I think there was like a flash and nip of like the teenage girl in the tub, but I don't remember any other nudity being in the theatrical version. So, I know it's weird because I mentioned this on our review that's coming out later this week. Is like one of the movies we watched on there had like some of the nudity was pixelated, and I thought that was really strange because I'd never seen that on Tubi before. Tubi doesn't generally cut the movies, so I don't know if they got their hands on some weird cut and didn't notice, or I don't really know. But yeah, so we will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. talking about another movie that we'll find out what it is when you guys do. And thanks everybody for dropping by, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Bye.